All right, children. I didn't see a whole lot of children today, but come on down. The usual suspects. How are you feeling this morning? Good? All right, let me share with you what Jesus, some of Jesus' last words before he went to heaven, okay? And it's from the Bible in Matthew chapter 28. And you can either read along up on the, that's the International Children's Bible. This is New Living Translation. It says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right, so what did Jesus tell his followers to do right before he went to heaven? Go and make what? Disciples, yeah, so other followers of Jesus. So if we look up at the map here real quick, you see a little dot over on the left in the United States. What does that dot stand for, do you think? Us, Augusta, Kansas. And then way over on the other side of that red line, you see a little dot in Israel. What do you think that stands for? For like Jerusalem? Maybe where Jesus was? Yeah. So how do you think the message of Jesus got all the way from Jerusalem to Kansas? How do you think we learned about Jesus?
Christians went on a boat.
Christians went on a boat.
And came here and told everybody about it.
Okay. Yeah, kind of, because, see, Jesus lived in a time before there was cell phones, right? And before there was computer and internet, even before there, do you guys even know what telegraph is? No, okay, we won't even talk about that then. Yeah, so today, people all over the world have heard about Jesus. Now, Jesus sent his disciples out in his area, two by two. They were to go out and tell everybody. He said, don't take a lot of stuff, just go tell people about Jesus. And so they left and told people about Jesus, and then they came back. And then after he died, those disciples went even farther. They went all around the world that was known at that time, and they carried with them the message of the gospel about the hope that we have of eternal life in heaven and the forgiveness of our sins. Do you know that there are still people in the world today who haven't heard about Jesus? Do you believe that? That there are still people in the world that haven't heard about Jesus? Yeah. So how are they going to get the message? Sometimes they don't even have the Bible. Yeah, in some places we've heard stories where they have one Bible and they tear the Bible apart in chapters and they send it around to other villages. And then when they get done reading it, they swap. So when I went to Mexico, the Mayan Indians didn't even have a Bible yet, and they finally got one in their language. So some people don't even have Bibles yet. Well, what do we call those people who go around the world and share the gospel? You know what we call them? Christians. Yep, they're Christians. What else are they called?
Missionaries.
Missionaries, yeah. Now, do we have to go all the way to Korea or Africa or South America to be missionaries?
No.
We're all missionaries, yep. And what's going to be the best mission field you guys have? Where at, though? What's coming up here in a couple of weeks?
School.
School. Are you guys ready to go back to school? No. Yeah. Do you have to tell people about Jesus, or are there some things that you can do to share Jesus with them? Like what?
Give them a Bible.
Give them a Bible. Yeah. Can you help, like, what's that?
Talk about them. Talk about God.
Talk to them about God, yep. But you can also love them, give them encouragement, maybe help them with their homework if you're really good in something. Share a snack or part of your lunch with them if they don't have enough food. So a lot of things. You don't have to do huge, big things for them. Just a lot of little things will add up over time. And you're right that we are all going to be missionaries come when we go out into our city and we share the gospel. So you guys, just like Pastor Wade, who's going to speak today, is going to Liberia over in the continent of Africa. You guys can be missionaries. Just like you don't get a fancy shirt like that. What's that? Go to Africa and you'll get one. Can't go this time, though. You're too young. All right? Well, let's pray. And remember, school's getting ready to start. That's going to be your best mission field along with all of your friends. All right? Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity just to talk about your commandment to go and to share the gospel. And so we thank you for making all of us missionaries and that none of us are too young to share the gospel of Jesus with our friends and with our schoolmates and those in our neighborhood. We pray that you would bless us, watch over us, and keep us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Kids Connect is upstairs in the Sunday school opening room today. We got her, Jim. I'm excited today because one of my best friends in all of ministry is here today to share a little bit about a new adventure in his life. Wade and I it's been about 20 years ago since we first went to Mexico. We have shared a lot of concrete floors and meals that we had to pray for sanctification over.
Green chicken.
Before we could eat them in Mexico. And he has been working also in Africa. And so in this new venture, he is becoming a missionary, a church planter for One Mission Society. And he wanted to come and talk to you. The thing when he told me he was going to do this, they have, again, a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, something that only God could do. And so I'm excited for him to share that today because if they can have such a big, hairy, audacious goal, well, we ought to be able to have one for our community and our county. And so with that, here is Pastor Wade Graber.
Thank you, man. God bless. Love you, man. Well, good morning. How you doing? Yeah, I went to Liberia, and all I got was this shirt. Remember those T-shirts you used to say, Mom and Dad went somewhere, and all I got was this stupid T-shirt? Yeah, well, I got the shirt. Well, we're glad you're all here this morning. Lots of familiar faces, lots of different places. Glad to see you. And we are excited about what God's called us to do. When we finished serving at FBC in El Dorado in February, we got a notice that month that the liaison between the United States and Liberia had resigned with the One Mission Society group. And so we said, sign us up. They said, it's not a paid position. We said, sign us up anyway. It's a leading of the Holy Spirit. We'll do that. And then we didn't know how to get food on the table, and so God supplied a corporate chaplaincy. So I'm a chaplain at a business, and that puts food on the table. And then God is supporting us and getting us ready to go. I'll go probably three times a year. Peggy gets to go with me once a year. She's back there. And we're going to continue to plant churches, which we started doing in 2007. In 2007 with FBC and with Graber Ministries and One Mission Society, we planted 234 churches in Liberia, West Africa. We lost 36 churches during the Ebola crisis, brutal, terrible virus, and now we're back up to 248 churches, and so we'll be going over and trying to multiply the church planting there. I did check this morning, and just for One Mission Society, at 7:45 this morning, just through this one ministry, we around the world, we have seen 583,985 souls saved so far in 2018. Praise God. Now that's just one ministry, right? That's just one ministry. But it's people coming together to be about this great commission. We're going to talk about some. So pray with me, please, and we'll go. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here in the room with us. We love you. We bless you. We worship you. Praise your name. Thank you, God, for your greatness, for this privilege to share your word, to share your story, to rejoice together in all that you're accomplishing, God. So we pray your anointing and blessing eyes on Jesus, Lord, that we'd be fixed on you, and we'd be alert, Holy Spirit, to you speaking to us, Father, that you'd be glorified through this time. Worship you, love you, bless you. Pray, God, your special anointing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 billion. When you see that number, 1 billion, or you see that written, 1 billion, what comes to mind? $1 billion, all right? How many of you talk in the billions all the time? I mean, that's real common language. Like, oh, the other day, you know, we withdrew $1 billion from our account and decided to go somewhere. How many of you use the word billion all the time? How many of you use million a lot? How about 1,000? Fairly often. 100? Ones? Okay. So 1 billion. You know, we didn't used to use that word or that number in our house very often until just a few months ago. And now we use it all the time. Because here's the fresh vision. What'd you call that big, hairy?
Big, hairy, audacious goal.
Big, hairy, audacious goal from one mission society. And others have joined in with this. But the big, hairy, audacious goal is that we will present the gospel to 1 billion people by 2026. Hello? Anybody hear that this morning? They started 2 years ago. The horse is already running. The train's already moving, folks. We've got to hop on, huh? So we hopped on. Hallelujah. We hopped on. We're on that horse, man. We're riding along, and we're excited about what he's got here. 1 billion people in a 10-year period to present the gospel to 1 billion people. There are 7.4 billion people in the world right now. 2.49 billion of them haven't heard about Jesus. So we got some work to do, right? So if we do this in a 10-year period, that'll be approximately, depending on what the population is at that time, at the end of 2026, we could present the gospel to a seventh or eighth, somewhere in there, of the entire population of the world. Wow! Is that exciting? Oh, that was painful. Was that exciting? Oh, I thought it was, yeah. So we talk about the Great Commission, all right? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Great Commission. You can pull that for me. There we go. All right. Jesus spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. All right. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Where did we get that phrase? Who started calling those verses the Great Commission? For years, we've attributed that to Hudson Taylor, who is a missionary to China, who lived in the 1800s, died in the early 1900s. But I found some research that found out that somebody had actually, about 200 years earlier, had been using this phrase. So this is a new one. And so I want to read a part of this to you. Baron Justinian Ernst von Welz. You've all heard of him, right? Yeah. I hadn't heard about him until this last year, so... He was the first one to use the phrase according to historical evidence. 200 years later, Hudson Taylor was using it. It says he was one of the Lutheran voices in the 17th century. He lived from 1621 to 1688, by the way. He put forward these questions. Is it right that we evangelical Christians hold the gospel for ourselves alone and do not seek to spread it? Is it right that in all places we have so many students of theology and do not induce them to labor elsewhere in the spiritual vineyard of Jesus Christ? Is it right that we spend so much on all sorts of dress, delicacies, and eating and drinking, etc., but hitherto thought of no means for the spread of the gospel? Post some pretty tough questions, huh? And so he labeled this passage the Great Commission. This is what God has commissioned us to do. And so that verse starts out by saying, Jesus... He says, all authority, exousia, all authority has been given to me. And now it's not the word for power. The word for power is dunamis, all right, in the original New Testament language. Dunamis is what? Dynamite. That's where we get our word dynamite. It's an explosive word. Exousia, the authority, all right? So he says, all authority. I have the right over all of heaven and earth to tell you to go and make disciples, all right? So the Holy Spirit usually is, the word dunamis is connected to God the Holy Spirit in terms of power. So he has the authority to commission us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to make this possible. All right? So it's interesting, as you go through this passage then, having all authority in heaven and earth and all the existence of humanity and all the created beings, he has the authority to say, go and make disciples. Now, it's very fascinating because for years I read and understood that the action word in that verse is go, but it is not the verb. It is not the action word. It is one of three participles. Going, baptizing, and teaching are the participles. The action word is mathetousate. Say it with me. Mathetousate. Say it again. Mathetousate, it's a weird word, isn't it? That word says, make disciples. The action word, the verb, what he's commissioning us to do is to make disciples. So it's saying, as you are going, now Pastor Rick said,
go to the other room and eat breakfast, I would just go, right? But if he says, as you are going, greet people as you are going, then that's what I would do, as I'm going. That's what it's saying here. That's a participle. As you are going out of your bedroom and into the rest of the house, as you are going to work, as you are going to school, as you are going to shop, as you're going, wherever you're going, as you are going, mathetusate, make disciples. Hello? Is everybody awake this morning? Okay. So it's part of life process. It's the way we live. You know, this whole thing, relationally, the Great Commission starts in our homes, right? Yeah, what a deal. So he has all authority, and he says, as you are going, the command is to make disciples. And he talks about how we do that in the other participles. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? That's the first one. And the second one is teaching. Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. So in baptizing, what is that all about? Baptizing. You know, we have that word to baptize. It's a transliteration from the original language. Baptize in the Greek is baptize, all right, basically. It's the same thing. And so we know it means to dip or immerse, and we know that it's important to do that for every believer. Either the scripture says repent and be baptized, or it says believe and be baptized, but it's prefaced by our responding to God in some way. Why is that important? Well, it's important for lots of reasons. One of the reasons is it helps us to see that we have entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have died to the old self. There's been a resurrection. We have a new self. If anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creature, new creation. The old things are passed away. You're dead. And all things become new, even you. Hallelujah. What about that? And there's a picture of that washing away of our sins. There's a picture of the reality of our obeying Christ and our obedience, because we're commanded to do that from his word. It's important because we see it's that way to profess our faith. And my friends, we run into all kinds of situations in Liberia, in Cape Mount area, where the Muslim population is quite heavy. We've had some terrible things happen and some terrific things happen. And many people are being won to Christ. One of the tragedies involved a baptism. We've been doing baptisms, and we said, anybody else a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's leading you to be baptized, please come and be baptized. 14-year-old girl, teenager, came down off the bridge into the pool of water. We confirmed her faith in Jesus Christ, immersed her, brought her back up. She walked out. She went home. Her Muslim family found out about it, and they kicked her out. You no longer are our daughter. It's one thing to speak it. It's another thing to go public with it. An old side note. Speaking of 14-year-olds, one of our associate pastors, one of the churches, their 14-year-old daughter was raped by an angry Muslim. And we wondered what would happen here. And you know what they did? They stayed in their community and still bear witness to Jesus Christ. As you are going, make disciples, baptizing them. You know, it's really important. Jesus was baptized. Jesus was perfect. He didn't have to be baptized for the washing away of his sins. He didn't have to be baptized for any other kind of thing. But you know what? When he told John to baptize him, he said, do it to what? Fulfill all righteousness. It is a spiritual act. It is a spiritual act. And when he was baptized, remember, the Father spoke, this is my beloved Son on whom I am well pleased, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. I'm telling you, friends, whatever your experience in baptism is, when you obey God in baptism and you follow the example of Jesus Christ and you come up out of the water, whether you're filled with joy and bubbling all over, you're very solemn or whatever. I had a coach come out of the water one time and kiss me in the cheek. Start yelling, it's great, it's great. Whatever your experience, I can promise you that you will have pleased Almighty God. Wow. Make disciples. As you're going, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey, to observe all that I've commanded you. Teaching them. So we have the teachings of Christ, and Jesus set apart his teachings by saying what? My teachings are spirit and they are life. I'm not teaching law. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so he does all these incredible teachings we still adhere to today. We have his writings here. We have the words of Jesus. And some of them are red lettered here to help us understand the things he said and he taught. And so it's to obey those things. And what was the ultimate thing that he said to that we should do is we should love God and love other people. This whole book hangs on that one thing. All the law and the prophets hang on that one thing, love. Isn't that incredible? And in that command to love, we've been given this commission to love people so much that we will bear witness to them. The word in the original language is martyreo. What word do you think we get from martyreo? Martyr. I will tell people about Jesus even if it kills me. That's what it is to be a witness, folks. That's what he's talking about here. And so to teach, to observe or obey all these things commanded, and what's the great promise? I'm with you. I am with you. Even to the end of the age. When I had the machine gun aimed at me the first trip into Liberia, I kept thinking I should be getting really nervous. The barrel was about 8 or 10 inches from my rib cage, and that peace that surpasses human understanding, the peace that doesn't make sense, just came over me. And I couldn't get nervous and I couldn't get scared. I tried real hard. Couldn't do it. And there's this reality of what? God is a God of presence. I am with you even to the end of the age. I am with you. I'll go with you through the tough times. I'll go with you through the terrific times. And he is the one that gives us then this command, this commission to go and to make disciples, baptizing them, helping them to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is really something we cannot do in and of our own strength. It's not possible. How many of you ever got in a situation and you thought to yourself, oh man, I should say something about Jesus. I should witness here, but I can't do it. Anybody ever had an experience like that? Any human beings here today? Any Christians here today? Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about, right? And you get in a situation, and man, we've had some situations. Man, I was in a bar one time, and a guy came after me with a pool cue. And he got stopped before he got to me, fortunately. I already have enough dents in my head from rolling down the mountain. But anyway, it's exciting to see where God leads you. And I'm nobody special. I grew up on a dryland wheat farm in western Kansas, all right? So if he can use me, he can use anybody, okay? So there's hope for you, all right? So exciting times. Well, we can't do this witnessing thing in our own power. And that's why Jesus reminds me that we do it in his power. We do it in his strength. There's no room for self-reliance in the kingdom, okay? There's no room for self-reliance in witnessing. You have to depend upon him to do that. And so you start praying and let him begin to take over, and it's cool what happens when you do that. And so there's another passage I think that's familiar to you in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus' words are recorded there. But you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, martyrs unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now he says, here's the way this witnessing thing happens. You wait, you pray, and then you start going. And as you are going, it may be a one-word word of witness. It may be a sentence of witness. It may be a witnessing time. But whatever comes out is something that he'll inspire and empower to do. You just have to trust him to do that. See, one of the tragedies of the evangelical church we're finding these days is many people are not encountering and experiencing the reality of God the Holy Spirit. Love Jesus, pray to the Father. Holy Spirit, I don't know. And one of the tragedies is that the primary, unique, novel purpose of the church is what? To win people to Jesus Christ and help them live like they're going to heaven until they get there. All the great care organizations and humanitarian groups help supply food and care just like the church does, and we should do that. But there's something unique about the church, and that is we point people to Jesus for a personal saving relationship. So it's the unique primary ministry of the church. It should be the unique primary goal of all our ministries of the church. We give food because we want to share the gospel with people so they'll come to Christ. We do all these ministries so that they will come to Christ because we'll share good news with them. But the reason many evangelical Christians do not know the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is because we are not witnessing. If you are witnessing, telling people about Jesus Christ, and they get saved, we call it what? Born again. They get born of the Spirit, born of above, right? Hello? If somebody gets born again, guess who's going to be around? God, the Holy Spirit, and you'll get to be there. When that moment happens, you will encounter God, the Holy Spirit, because that person gets rebirthed right here by you, right in front of you. Wow. What an astounding thing. So one of the tragedies is we have the opportunity to do the primary thing, but because we don't do the primary thing, we don't encounter the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Witnessing is one of the evidences of being a believer. I went through the New Testament. I should get you in these. And found 15 evidences of being a Christian, just from the New Testament. I think it's new book. Yeah. So number three on the list, it dawned on me, I just, they were in any particular order, but is witnessing. One of the evidences that you are a believer, that you're born again, that you're born of the Spirit, is that you are a witness. Now, some of you have heard this, me say this before, because there's a crew of you I recognize back there, but I believe, it's been my conviction now for several years, that not every Christian, every believer, as well as every church family, every believer needs to have a Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth ministry. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you have to go all over the world to do this thing. But it means, locally, there should be a ministry or mission through the church or whatever that you're doing that you're a part of. And if it's a ministry that you can't physically get involved with, then you give to it, or you intercede for them, you pray for them doing the ministry. Same thing, whether it's in Kansas or the United States or over the ocean, maybe you're a pen pal to a missionary that's over the ocean. Somewhere along the line, begin to be in touch with missionaries around the world, locally and around the world, and have a personal connect, whether it's intercessory prayer or communicating with or going on a mission trip. Be a part of that. Every Christian, I believe, needs to have a Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts. And, of course, every church family. Friends, you'd be surprised how many churches. We've been doing some traveling, seeing friends and family and stuff. We've run into churches not only that have no mission vision, but there's several services we could have shown up and not have needed our Bibles. That's scary. That's tragic. So if we're not lifting up the Word of God and the God in it who commissions us, then there's a good chance we're not doing what He tells us to do. So thank God you're part of a church family who has a mission-minded pastor and leaders, that you have a Bible-centered. This is happening, because in many places it's not. So you do this even if you have to eat green chicken. Yeah, all right. Blast from the past. We went to a concert last night, and three people from Leota, Peggy's hometown, 3-in-1 was a music group. And so it's two brothers and a sister. And all these years, they have grown up and done camps and traveled all around the world doing music. And so it was a cool thing. But the blast from the past reminded me of another blast from the past I got to tell you about today. And this is, how many of you have ever heard of the group Jews for Jesus? Let me see your hand. Jews for Jesus. Okay. Some of you. Okay. Well, the founder of Jews for Jesus is now with Jesus, but his name was Moshe Rezin. And Moshe Rezin worked as a young man in his 20s in a bakery. And so he had a Christian that kept pestering him, kept witnessing to him, inviting him to come to his church. Come. Never would. Finally gave in, just because the guy was persistent. Went, and he met Jesus, and he was saved. And he went back to the work the next day, and he says his co-worker, his Jewish co-working friend, he said, last night I received Jesus as Messiah. Yeshua, my Savior. And he's just so excited. And his friend said, oh, I did that a month ago. Now, this is like 4 decades later from when this happened. I mean, he starts turning beet red. I mean, he starts kind of getting the blood red, kind of like your shirt over here. I mean, he starts getting kind of brown red, kind of a mix of these two shirts here. He's still mad about it. And he looked at his coworker and he said, you mean to tell me I was on my way to hell and you didn't tell me about Jesus? He's still furious about it. And then he looks over the congregation that day. I was sitting about where you're sitting right there, about that far back. He's up on the stage and he says, unless you are witnessing for Jesus Christ, I have nothing but contempt for you. Wow. I thought somebody slugged me in the chest and drove me back about 3 pews, man. It was so powerful coming from this man who knew that when he committed his life to Jesus Christ, his family wrote him off as dead. And yet he was thrilled to establish this organization to minister to fellow Jews around the world. Is it important? Oh, absolutely. It's not only primary, but it's important because it's eternal. It's where people will spend forever. That's what it's all about. It is the unique ministry of the church. And so we have to latch on to, and I don't think I gave you this verse, but Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of your Savior. There's no shame in telling people about Jesus Christ. There's a reality that's shameful not to, and I don't want to just shame you into it, but sometimes I have wondered off and on over the years, who did I miss telling the gospel to who is right now in the torment of hell because I was silent? That'll keep you up at night. So the question, who, what, when, where, why, and how, the old reporting numbers, huh? Who, what, why, when, where, and how does God want you to invest in his kingdom? Who does he want you to be a part of? What does he want you to be doing? When does he want you to do it? Why does he want you to do it? For his glory, ultimately, of course, right? How does he want you to go about it? Where are you to invest your life, we always say your time, talents, and treasures, right? The 3 T's. How are you to invest in the kingdom? How are you to make disciples? What are you supposed to do? Where are you supposed to go? Whom are you going to send? All those different things. And those are the questions for this morning. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. They use them all the time when they write articles, right? And to use those to figure out what God wants you to do in the kingdom. Now I'll share a couple of things. How long do we have? 9:30, somewhere in there? Somewhere in the 9:30. I can do this. Oh, 9:45. Oh, I can go clear to 9:45. Okay, cool. No, I just got used to not having a clock in the back, which these people back here can confirm. And so there was a hole up there that had the clock in it, and so I made sure that it was really loose, so I'd make sure it always fell out so you couldn't really see. All you saw was a hole up there. So now I'm getting used to seeing clocks again. You should take that down. Oh, it doesn't stop you. Okay, good. So, God just, when you say, okay, God, just surrender, yield up to him. What are you going to do this week? You know, what are you going to do today? I want you to use me. I want you to be glorified through my life. What kind of situation are we going to get into today? And so as a chaplain for TCG now, part of that was not only to minister to the workers there, but also they wanted me to reach out into the community to other business people. And so I'm reaching out. I make about 40 face-to-face stops. And then I'm given a name of a person who leads a certain group in the community as a contact person to have an exchange and to share information to catch their vision and things. So I go down there. And the only thing my boss said was, this person is talkative. And when I said that to somebody else, they started laughing because it was more than talkative. Anyway, so I get there, and And here's a short story, since we got short time. Here's, God is hilarious. He's just astounding, but he's hilarious to me anyway, I think. He's got a great sense of humor. But little did I know that an hour and 10 minutes from the time I walked into that office, I would be kneeling at her desk and anointing her with oil to pray for healing in Jesus' name, because she'd had an infection in her foot for months that was not healing. Now why is that so unique? Well, because I didn't know till I got there that she's a Buddhist. And an hour and 10 minutes from the first time I meet her, God has me kneeling in front of her. I carry oil with me, anointing her with oil, James 5, and praying for healing in Jesus' name. And she's over there going, oh, this is great. This is great. I got to go call and see how this healing's going. God is so fun. He's just amazing. Last Sunday night, I got to preach out at the prison. Now, you know, there was a riot over at the prison. And so I didn't know till I got there that this was the first chapel service that they'd had since the rioting. And so the guys were pretty pumped about getting back together, pretty excited. And if you've never gone to, or if you've never gotten to preach at the service out at the prison, you got to go, man. It's a trip. Anyway, so they're very, very excited. And we were preaching, talking about three things. We're talking about yielding to God's transforming power in your life. Understanding that even though they are in the walls, God has commissioned them, see, to ministry. And the third thing is minister to one another. So transformation, commission, and ministry. And so I said, you know, if you're really gonna give it up to God for this, you have to really surrender to him. I mean, you just gotta yield to God. You gotta forget about yourself, die to self, become alive in Christ. And so what happens is, I said, some of you know this routine. All of you at one time have experienced this. Somebody said, put your hands up, put your feet out, and they kept kicking them out further and further. And why was that? Because when they got so spread out, they were totally surrendered. There's no way they could have acted or reacted to the officers arresting them, because they were yielded. They were total surrender. And I said, okay, guys, tonight, if you're really going to be serious about yielding to the transforming power of Christ in your life, Holy Spirit transforming you into the image of Christ, if you're really going to be serious about obeying his commission, if you're really going to be serious about ministering to one another, I'm going to challenge you to assume the position. And when we start singing, 13 men got out of their seats and went to the wall and put their hands out and started spread eagling till they could barely hold themselves up, saying, God, tonight, I'm surrendering to you afresh to yield to you and your transforming power, to obey what you tell me to do, and to minister to my fellow inmates. This morning, my friends, we cannot do business as usual. The world is so crazy and random and ridiculous that if we don't step it up about 100%, we can't be what God's called us to be. And certainly, if we are not making disciples, if we're not obeying that last, final, most important commission that he gave us to do in the context of love, we're missing it. So this morning, I want to challenge you in Jesus' name to surrender fresh to the Great Commission. To surrender who you are and what you have and how you spend your time and how you spend your money and how you live in a radical, changing way. Give it up to God one more time. Get really serious with God. Say, this is a time, Lord. I'm I'm driving my stake today, Lord. This is the time. This is the turning point at 9:29 a.m. here at FBC Augusta. Lord, I'm surrendering to you in a fresh way to be your witness, to make disciples, to go about teaching them about you and seeing them be baptized and seeing them obey you. You're ready to do that today. Then I want to challenge you to do that in this time of response. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we bless you and worship you. Praise your name. Pray, God, your special anointing on this time, God, that we'd be free of distractions and that we would be ready to hear from you today. Lord, I pray, first of all, that each one is absolutely certain, undeniably sure that they are a Christian today, that they have been born again, they have been born of the Spirit. And Lord, if there's somebody here who says, I don't even know what he's talking about, I don't know what it is to be born again, I don't know what it is for God the Holy Spirit to rebirth me and Jesus to save me, I pray that as we get ready for this time, that you'll come and we can introduce you to Jesus and you can have that rebirth right here today. Lord, I pray for each one here who is a Christian, absolutely certain that today they're going to be ready to yield their life to you in a fresh way. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name they're going to be ready to assume the position. They're going to be ready to raise up their hands in yieldedness and surrender to you. They're going to be ready to lift up their hearts in yieldedness and surrender to you. They'll be ready to lift up their billfolds and their purses and their bank accounts and surrender to you. Lord, they're going to be willing to lay out popularity and position and yield it up to you. And Lord, maybe they need to go stand at one of these walls here today and surrender and say, this is my commitment, this is my sign, this is my moment that I'm surrendering to Christ in a new and fresh way. Lord, we want to give this up to you in the name of Jesus and allow you, Lord, just to minister spirit and life to us. Lord, that you would have that transforming power in us, and that we would be Christ-like, loving others, sharing the gospel, and helping them to be your followers. Lord, we pray your special anointing and blessing, and we worship you, Lord. Lead us now by your Spirit. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord, in this response time. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord, to surrender and yield to you, in Jesus' name.